Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a delight to see this many people here on Sunday morning. Wednesday, because some people were serving during the week in Mountaintop, we had 20 people. It was like being in a church that was dying. It was all of us old people there, wasn't it, Ms. Ellen? Us old people. A little bit of humor always helps. And leave. Anyway, what a blessing this morning coming to the Lord's Supper and remembering His sacrifice for sins and taking us poor wretched sinners, cleaning us, making us fit to worship Him. If you weren't here, the Lord missed your presence. If you would, turn to Amos chapter 7. Now, we're in the middle of the book of Amos, which is hard to jump into a middle of the book as you've been going through it. Some people have been here, some haven't. Many of us have forgotten what was said in the first six chapters. So we'll do a little review of that before jumping into 7. But we're going to read these verses from Amos chapter 7, give you an outline of the chapter, some high points, and then what God has to say to us through His Word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy. We thank You for Your Word that guides us into all truth. We pray, Lord, that Your Word would speak to our hearts today, to each one of us, Lord. And Father, if there's anyone here who senses the need of grace in their lives, which we all do, help us, Lord. Shower Your grace upon us. If there's anyone here who needs the word of salvation to understand that Christ died for their sins, may You speak to their hearts through Your message that You gave to Amos, to Israel. We ask these things in the name of Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amos chapter 7. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, He formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that they had made an end of eating the grass of the land. Then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech Thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Verse 4. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then I said, O Lord God, cease, I beseech Thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Verse 7. Thus He showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in His hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Verse 10. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Verse 12. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee away, be away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there, but prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Verse 14. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, Prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Amos had a strong message, didn't he, for the nation of Israel. Amos was a prophet to Israel from Judah. He was a sheep breeder and a keeper of sycamore fig trees, a shepherd and a farmer. He was an ordinary man given an extraordinary task by the Lord. Amos was from Tekoa in Judah, 12 miles south of Bethlehem. His name means burden bearer because he was bearing the load, the weight of the message of God's coming judgment on Israel, the northern kingdom. Amos was called as a prophet and received a vision of God's message in 762 BC, 2 years before an earthquake mentioned by Zechariah the prophet in Zechariah 14:5. At that time, Uzziah was the king of the southern kingdom Judah, and Jeroboam II was the king of the northern kingdom Israel. The book immediately opens with these symbols of judgment: earthquake, roaring like thunder, and a fire. Amos first summarizes the transgressions of the six Gentile nations surrounding Israel. I'm trying to make directions with my hands. I may have them backwards. I hope not. Picture Israel sitting here. Up here, Damascus, Syria, being the first nation to be judged. Over here, Philistia, the Philistines, the second to be judged. Phoenicia, north of Israel, the third to be judged. Edom, down to the southeast, the next to be judged. Ammon, the next one, and Moab. These six nations, Gentile nations surrounding Israel, and Amos pronounces judgment on them. But then he turns and he speaks to the southern kingdom, Judah, and he says they likewise will be judged for their sin. But finally, Amos turns to the northern kingdom, Judah, and pronounces their judgment. And he just doesn't give a summary of a verse or two, but from chapter 2 and verse 6 through all of chapter 6, he makes a laundry list of their sin: economic exploitation, sexual immorality, idolatry, drunkenness, violence and robbery, religious hypocrisy, legal injustice, lazy indifference, luxurious indulgence, prideful impudence, arrogance. You know, as I was going through that summary of the book of Amos, I wondered about my own laundry list, and I thought, maybe I should just keep track how often I sin. By the time I got to number five, in a short period of time, I said, this is not good. This is not worth it. I saw how I needed the grace of God. Jedi Packer is 90 years old, and he said, oh, I need the grace of God. Israel needed the grace of God in all their sin. And so, in enumerating this laundry list of sins, God also in the book makes this pronouncement of certain judgment on Israel, the northern kingdom, for their sin. In chapter 2, verse 6, this is what the Lord said. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Three times the book is divided in chapter 2 through chapter 6 with this heading, hear this word. And in these hear this words, God's summarizing his certain judgment on the northern kingdom. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. There I will punish you for all your iniquities. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word, ye kind, you cows of Bashan that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days will come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. The third, hear ye this word in chapter 5, verse 1 and 3 regarding certain judgment. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 3. Hear ye this word, which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen and shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus says the Lord to God, the city that went out 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. 12 times God makes pronouncements of certain judgment from chapter 2 through chapter 6. In addition to these, hear this word, he includes these two woes of judgment. Chapter 5, verses 18 and 20. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is that for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or he went into the house and leaned his hand on a wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness. Imagine that. Escaping a lion, getting mauled by a bear. Escaping the bear, getting in the house, putting your hand on the wall, and a serpent bites you and kills you. Certain judgment. The second woe, chapter 6, verse 1. Back up just a little bit. Israel was looking for the day of the Lord because they thought, as Stephen's taught us, it was going to bring in a kingdom. They were going to be the ones that would rule with Christ. They would be delivered. Lo and behold, they didn't realize it would be a day of judgment for them if they didn't turn to the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Woe to them. Certain judgment. 12 times Amos warns them about the coming judgment. But God is so good. During those 12 times he tells them there's going to be certain judgment for their sin, he has calls to Israel to repentance 12 times. In the midst of this laundry list of sin and God's proclamation of judgment that would come on their transgressions, the Lord God asked the nation Israel to repent. It begins with God recounting his chastisements of them, trying to bring them to repentance. In chapter 4, verses 6 through 11, just a summary of the chastisements. He brings them a dearth of bread, famine, and they refuse to repent. He withholds the rain. He brings them drought. They refuse to repent. He brings destruction of the crops, with blasting and mildew and the palmer worm, they still refuse to repent. He brings them disease and death, pestilence and death to their armies and to the horses. Still they do not repent. Verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet you have not returned to me, saith the Lord. Devastation didn't bring them to repentance. What does the Lord say in verse 5? Verse 4, He's seeking them. He's reaching out to them. He wants them to repent. Chapter 5, verse 4, For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and ye shall live. Chapter 5, verse 6, Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Verse 8, Seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and pour them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate, that it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. The 12th one, chapter 5, verse 24. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. He was calling them back to be the people that God wanted them to be, rendering right judgment in their courts, living a life that was righteous and treating one another rightly. The nation of Israel refused to repent and to turn to God and to live justly and righteously. Therefore, the Lord God brings judgment on the nation. And we saw that in Amos chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. The Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. And so we come to chapters 7, 8, and 9. And God is communicating with Amos by five visions. In these visions, God confirms the doom, the judgment of the nation Israel, the northern kingdom. In chapter 7, verse 1, we read this, Thus hath the Lord showed unto me a vision. Chapter 7, verse 4, Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me a vision. Chapter 7, verse 7. Thus he showed to me the fourth vision. The third vision. 1, 2, 3, 4. Chapter 8, verse 2. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? The fourth vision. Chapter 9, verse 1. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, the fifth vision. God wants Amos and Israel to get the picture, to see it. Notice God uses the word behold. We saw the words four times, three times used, showed. The Lord God showed me. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me. Verse 7, thus he showed me. And then he follows that up with behold, four times using the word behold. And behold, and behold, and behold. And then in verse 8, then the Lord said, behold, see it, perceive it, understand it, comprehend it, apprehend it. Who does God wish to see, to behold, to apprehend? Well, he wants Amos to see it. He gives him the vision. He wants Amos to communicate that message to Israel. He wants them to see it. And we as his church, he wants us to look into the book and he wants us to see it. And so he gave these visions to Amos to communicate it to Israel and to communicate it to us, his church. What does God want Amos, his people Israel, and his church to see? Well, in the first vision, that's what we're going to look at, the first vision, it says, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me. And behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowing. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob rise? For he is small. God wanted the Lord God, the sovereign God, the one who's in authority, the one who has absolute power. He said, Amos, look at the grasshoppers. Caterpillar larvae of the locust, if you would. The worm, not the jumping insect, but the worm. And the Lord formed it in this vision at the, how does he put it, in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. Like we have hay, we have first cut hay, which people are already cutting. You take it off the field, and then you get wait for a period of time, and the second comes up. The latter growth. The first growth there in Israel went to the king. He gets it all. He gets first dibs. So he got his share of the harvest. But then these grasshoppers come, these caterpillar larvae, and they eat all of the grass off in that second growth, the second cut. There's nothing there for the people. They have nothing to feed their animals. It would be disastrous. Their animals would starve. They would starve. Amos sees the caterpillars eat up all of the grass, leaving nothing for the common people. Therefore, Amos offers up this intercessory prayer on behalf of Israel. He says, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. He prays to the sovereign Lord and urges him to forgive the nation Israel. So that they would not suffer this disaster. He says, by whom shall Jacob arise? He is so small. He said, who of Israel will be able to stand or survive? He is small in numbers. He is small in strength. He's helpless compared to the power of these caterpillars. And in comparison to God's might and power, he's judging them in the picture of these caterpillars. While Israel thought themselves strong and protected by armies and the Mount of Samaria, they were in fact helpless and weak before God's power. In the light of the terrible destruction of the vision, Amos pleads for the forgiveness of the nation. Despite their obvious guilt, a lack of repentance, and the justice of their punishment. Amos' request is solely based on God's mercy. And lo and behold, God relented. Verse 3, the Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. And God relented. He turned back from an earlier decision by the appeal of Amos. The nation was not forgiven, but the punishment was withdrawn. We can trust that what God does is right. God is just to judge. God is just to hear and respond to intercessory prayer. God is patient. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. That should encourage us in our prayers for others and rebuke us. It rebukes me for prayerlessness. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. It's interesting here. The Lord is contending with the nation Israel. He's striving with them. He's struggling with them. And Amos, seeing this struggle, he strives and contends with God. And that's the pattern we're going to see here through the rest of the chapter. Verses 4 through 6. You see, this first chastisement failed to bring full repentance by the nation of Israel. So now there's going to be a second chastisement pictured in the second vision, which was more severe. That is the context of the second vision. Verse 4. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep and eat up a part. To contend, to strive against, to struggle in opposition, to have conflict. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And he was attempting in this vision to show the nation Israel their need to reach humility and to give up their pride. God brought forth a drought, the picture of that fire, a drought which would dry up the land, and dried up the springs, and dried up the rivers, and left the grasslands, the crops, and the trees as dry as tinder, for the fire which would burn it to the roots. And it did eat up the part, the portion that God had appointed or permitted for destruction. And again, Amos sees this terrible destruction with fire, and he intercedes for Israel with prayer. Verse 5, Then I said, O Lord, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord. He begs God to stop the judgment on behalf of Israel. And God responds again by relenting. The second chastisement failed to bring repentance on the nation of Israel. So now God applies judgment on the nation. And that's the context of the third vision that we see in verses 7 through 9. Thus he showed me, in verse 7, Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Plumb line's a pretty simple device. It's a little lead or metal ball, a bob, plumb bob, put down on the end of a cord. It's held, and it drops straight perpendicular. When Lois and I were putting an addition on our house back in 1988, the builder came over. He said, I'm sorry, I don't have my helper here. You need to help me set the plumb on this corner of your addition. So So he goes up to the top, and there's nothing there. It's just two boards sticking out there, and he puts the line up there and drops it down. He says, now, Dr. Clark, you make sure it goes right on the edge of that little piece of metal that I got right down there, that nail. And the bob's going back and forth, and he's moving it around up there, and it's shifting back and forth. And I said, oh, no. If I don't get this right, my house will be crooked. Fortunately, I think I got it right on the spot, because I think our house, the room is straight. But it's a wonder. All right. Second thing I remember about plumb bobs, Lois and I went to look at a house. It was around 2004 or something like that. We drive out and we get out and we look at this house. You could see the outside brick wall waving and bending outward. This was new construction. We got in the car, but they had not built by a plumb line. Now, here's the Lord. Amos sees him in a vision standing on the wall, holding a plumb line. The wall is the picture of the nation Israel. And God is holding his plumb line, his law, and founds the nation Israel on his law. He wants an upright people. He comes back later in the midst. How does it put it there? And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. So he comes back. He sees the Lord holding a plumb line over the nation now, as they are here in Amos's time. A wicked, perverse people, not straight and upright like the Lord had founded it on. And the Lord says, I will not again pass by anymore. He is no longer going to ignore their sin. He is no longer going to leave them unpunished in forbearance. He is no longer going to fail to notice their iniquity. And so he says in verse 9, and the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. The Lord is going to go to the high places in Israel where they made sacrifices, patterning themselves after the Canaanites. The sacrifices were to occur in Jerusalem, not in these high places in Israel. He's going to make them desolate. He's going to remove any visitors there, any worshipers there, and he's going to take the high places themselves down on the mountaintops and on the hills. And he says, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. The Lord is going to go to Bethel, where one of the golden calves is, and he's going to lay it to waste. He's going to go to Dan, and he's going to, where the other golden calf is, and he's going to lay it to waste. And he's going to go to Gilgal, where they all show worship, and at Gilgal, he's going to destroy it, lay it to waste. He will remove their idolatrous worship. And the Lord says, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. He will no longer let this political dynasty of Jeroboam II continue, but he will eliminate it with the sword. He will destroy it. So, Amos has contended, the Lord has contended with Israel again in this third vision of the plumb line. You notice Amos does not contend with the Lord. He understood this was the end. It was time of Israel's judgment, and he does not intercede with prayer for the forgiveness or the holding back of the Lord against Israel in his judgment. But now Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, he contends with the king Jeroboam II. Verse 10, Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel, and the land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Do you hear the lies there of Amaziah as he's protecting his own turf and he's protecting his own position as the priest in Bethel? Look at what he says. Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. No, it was God determining judgment on the nation of Israel, on the house of Israel. He also says, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. That's not what Amos was told by God. God said he would remove the house of Jeroboam with the sword. In other words, his descendants, his sons, would no longer be in rule. He didn't say anything about killing Jeroboam. What else did he say there? And Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. God never said to Amos, and Amos never said that Israel was going to be led captive, at least not to this point. The one thing that Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, did say that was correct was, the land is not able to bear all of his words. They were not willing to listen. They were not willing to repent. And so they would not be able to bear all these words of judgment. Now Amaziah turns from contending with King Jeroboam the second, and now he contends with Amos in verse 12. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. He challenges Amos. He calls him a seer, and he's saying it derisively. He's saying, you only came up here because you're getting paid to prophesy, you seer. He says, go, flee thee away into Judah and eat your bread there. In other words, you go back to Judah and you get paid for prophesying back there, presuming that Amos was there as of his own will and decision rather than God sending him. He says, but prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. Don't you come back here. Stay away from here. Don't you be talking against our way of practicing religion. Don't be taking away from my role as a priest. Don't be taking away my position here and my place here in this kingdom. For he says, it is the king's chapel. Indeed, it was the king's chapel. Jeroboam the first is the one that established it and placed the golden calf there. It was the center for the religious life of the northern kingdom, not Jerusalem. It was the king's chapel. And he says, and it is the king's court. Yeah, that's where Jeroboam the second ruled from. That was where his political center was. That's where he governed from. Now notice in verse 14, Amos contends with Amaziah. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. He said, Amaziah, you've got it wrong. I wasn't born a prophet. I did not desire the office of a prophet. I didn't go to a prophet school to learn to be a prophet or to be the son of a prophet. I was a herdman. I was a keeper of sycamore fig trees. And the Lord called me. The Lord called me to go to Israel and to speak. To go prophesy unto my people Israel. You know, each of us has a calling. Each of us has a gift to use within the assembly. God takes us as ordinary people, forgiven saints, and He places us and calls us to a service, just like He called Amos. We each have a gift. We each need to exercise it. In this instance, He told Amos, go. And Amos went. The Lord's speaking to you. He's giving you a gift. He says, go. Use your gift. Now, therefore, Amos says, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not in Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Israel. He says, don't come by here and casually utter these comments that you have. Don't drop thy word against the house of Isaac. Amos says this in contending with Amaziah, and it's the Lord who is now contending with Amaziah, speaking through Amos. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword. And thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Amos tells Amaziah that his wife, against her will, and without him able to help, she'll be forced into prostitution by the enemy to ensure a livelihood. His sons and his daughters will die by the sword. His land will be divided as spoils among the enemy. He shall die in the land of his heathen enemy, and Israel shall surely go into captivity. Now it's interesting, each of these visions has a fulfillment in Scripture. These were literal visions. Amos could see the grasshoppers. He could see the fire. He could see God on the wall holding the plumb line. But they also had a symbolic revealing of what God was going to do in the future. And here's what happened. In 725 B.C., Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, put a 3-year siege against Samaria. And after 3 years, the city finally collapsed. In 722 B.C., this is 40 years after Amos speaks, just 40 years, one generation. In 722 B.C., Sargon II, now the king of Assyria, comes in and takes Israel captive. 27,290 people. Isn't it interesting? We know exactly how many people were deported from that northern kingdom. Of all the people that lived there, most died. Some were left. But 27,290 people, survivors, were deported out of the northern kingdom into Assyria, into other parts of the Assyrian Empire. The 10 lost tribes of Israel, God knows where they are. He's numbered their heads, the hairs on their heads, and He knows them. Father, we thank you for your grace in our lives. Here are two men, Amos and Amaziah, the priest. Amos the prophet, who heard your word, who believed it, and who obeyed the message, and he went and he prophesied. And here we have Amaziah the priest, who refused to hear the message. He rejected it, the message and the messenger, and he faced judgment. The Lord held his plumb line by these two men in their midst. And Father, we're so thankful that as we stand by your plumb line, you don't see our sin. You measure us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect and righteous in all of his ways, and we've been justified in him, made righteous, so that we can stand by your plumb line, and you don't see us in our sin. You see us in the Lord Jesus Christ. For this we give thanks. We pray, Lord, if there's someone here today who is trying to save themselves, who thinks their life is good enough, they compare themselves to others, but don't compare themselves to the righteousness of God and his law. We pray, Lord, that they might see their sin. Unlike Israel, we pray that they might repent, turn to God, and to be saved. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.